Of course he's right. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Here's Steve.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Of course he's right. Or something else I've said to people for years. You are entitled to my opinion. My brother always especially appreciated it. Shane, you're entitled to my opinion. Yeah, he'd look at me sideways and make some gesture about how much he appreciated me. I think that's what he meant by that gesture. I'll have to ask him about that. At any rate, it's Friday. Good to have you here. My next guest is Steve Doolin. There's no fooling with Steve Doolin, the professor. Welcome back, Doolin.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You know, I got to be honest. Alex said that to me a few minutes ago. I said, there it is. No fooling with Steve Doolin, who by the way, just came off. He's just had his access revoked. His security clearance has been revoked. But, Doolin, you're okay to be here. I'm sorry about your security clearance being revoked. Good to be here.
Gosh, thanks. And I think my brother had that same you are number one gesture for me sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant. You know, I'm going to have to call him. Shane, what did you mean by that? I thought that I'm great. You know, anyhow. Let's start with John Brennan. I can't get him professional help today. But what is, seriously, look at the entitlement mentality of all these people on the left. Well, I served in the administration once, and I was in the intel community once, and therefore I should have lifetime clearance to do whatever I want. I mean, really? Can you think about this? So this guy's got some deal, and he's got some beef with somebody, and he's got security clearance. Isn't that a dangerous weapon? I mean, this guy's already shown himself to be a complete partisan hack, right? Yeah, that's a dangerous weapon.
Who was it who said to Joe McCarthy, "Have you no shame, sir?"
Exactly.
That's what we should be saying to Brennan today. Have you no shame? How dare you implicate the First Amendment in this discussion? It has nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
No one's restraining his First Amendment rights.
Ever since his security clearance was revoked, all he has done is run his mouth. He's been on Twitter all over the place. He wrote an op-ed for the New York Times, you know, crying about how he's been mistreated and his First Amendment rights have been taken away, obviously demonstrated by your long-winded, self-serving op-ed piece published by the New York Times. Yeah, your impact has been tremendous to the First Amendment. Please.
I rarely am surprised or offended. I mean, when someone says to me that something I said offended him or her, I literally laugh, and I expect to likewise. But I'm offended by the fact that these folks, and it's not just Brennan; it's all of his apologists and defenders.
You look at people like James Clapper. You know, the biggest defender, the other windbag, James Clapper, who we all know lied in front of Congress several times. Oh, we're not collecting data on anyone. Oh, look, we're collecting data on everyone. Oh, did I say that? Gee, sorry about that. Lying to Congress, no big deal. So James Clapper, not exactly the kind of witness you want in your corner when it comes to defending yourself, is it?
Certainly not. You know, and I mean, this is the political equivalent of one of those FIFA soccer players flopping around on the field and nobody touched him, and then his teammate come running up and pretend to administer first aid to a person who clearly doesn't need it.
Right. All right, so enough about those clowns. Let's move on to another set of clowns, you know,
Okay. Sending
the clowns. Let's move on to the prosecutors in the Manafort case. I think they're a little nervous because the jury came back. I don't know if you saw this, but the jury came back out and asked some questions 7 or 8 o'clock last night. Like, what's reasonable doubt? I mean, what qualifies? How far do we have to go to get past reasonable doubt and so forth? And the judge says it doesn't have to be beyond any doubt, just beyond a reasonable doubt. But then the judge, Ellis, who's gotten all this publicity for being, you know, direct and sarcastic and whatnot, said, "I'm not going to organize the exhibits or the evidence to parse it out for each of the 18 charges." He goes, "You guys need to go by memory. You need to remember what happened in that trial. You need to know which piece of evidence goes with which charge. I can't help you with that, and I'm not going to." That doesn't look good for the prosecution's case at this point, but who knows? There are 18 charges on the table.
Yeah, who knows? Ultimately, that's the side I fall on, is who knows. I've had that one go both ways, actually, over the years when the jury comes back with questions. And, at this point, I wouldn't read anything into it. They probably had an argument within the jury room about whether to ask the questions.
That's a possibility.
At this point, I wouldn't read anything into it.
All right, so let me ask you this. What does the Paul Manafort case have to do with Donald Trump?
Not a bloody thing.
Nothing. But you listen to the people. If it's like driving a fork in your ear, but you listen to the people on CNN and elsewhere, and you would think that this is the absolute linchpin to the Donald Trump colluded with Russia case. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has to do with tax fraud and tax evasion and business practices, I believe, in the 80s and 90s. It doesn't have anything to do with the Trump administration, the Trump campaign, Donald Trump himself, any of the people around him. But, my God, you would think by listening to everything that's going on, if Paul Manafort is convicted, it's tantamount to Donald Trump being, you know, guilty as well.
Well, yeah, if you listen to CNN, et al., you know, and the more Trump calls them fake news, the faker they get, boy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Crazy.
Yeah, well, yeah. So the Paul Manafort case, there's not even a tenuous connection with Donald Trump, is there?
No, there truly isn't. None of the charges have anything to do with Manafort's time with the Trump campaign at all.
Let me ask you this, and you know, you're an attorney, and I forgive you that. But you know, to the best of my ability, I forgive you that. Anyhow, you're an attorney, but I want you to be honest about this. You've been up against the government before, whatever. Would Paul Manafort be on trial for anything? Because the Internal Revenue Service never found anything irregular about his tax returns. The Internal Revenue Service, that kind of, you know, bird dogs that sort of thing, didn't think that he was cheating anywhere, didn't think he was hiding anything, didn't think he was evading taxes, because if they did, they'd have been on him like a cheap suit. Would Paul Manafort be on trial at all if he hadn't worked 100 days exactly for the Trump administration? Or, excuse me, for the campaign?
Well, I think the best way I can phrase it is probably not. You know, the special prosecutor's office, in my opinion, should not be prosecuting this. What they should have done, and what they would have done if they cared about their primary mission, is they would have referred this to one of the U.S. attorney's offices, whichever one would have jurisdiction. And the U.S. attorney's office, essentially the federal prosecutors who have jurisdiction here, would make a decision about whether to prosecute. So, I mean, it's possible that if this information were found to be sufficient based on priorities within the U.S. attorney's office, that there would still be a prosecution. But, we use but for causation. So, but for the fact that Manafort worked for Trump at some point, certainly not. There would not be a prosecution here because he never would have been caught if he even, you know, if he allegedly committed these things. He never would have been caught but for the special prosecutor.
There you go, but for in this and that. There's no fooling with Steve Doolin. That's why we have him here. My God, I'm stuck on that. Thank you, Alex. He's been tattooed with that right across the forehead. Doolin, always a good conversation. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thanks. You too, Gruber.
There you have it. No fooling with Steve Doolin on the Steve Gruber Show. Good to have you here on a Friday. By the way, this part of the program brought to you by our good friends at Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company. They've been serving Michigan since 1947. They're locally owned and operated. That's why we love them. They deliver statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com. Tell Paul and the guys Gruber sent you over.
It starts with a fascination, an energy that drives us to create. And over time, it evolves into something greater. An idea, a simple idea, to make things better, to improve. We're not the type to settle or leave a job half finished. We're a source of positive change, filtering innovation from our minds through our hands, bettering our beautiful state. And when you create every day, it's easy to look back and see everything you've helped build. Building a better Michigan.
Your future awaits at MichiganConstruction.com.
Looking for a new approach for ongoing health issues? Are you sick and tired of being sick? Maybe it's time for a change. Rykoff Wellness in East Lansing offers IV energy boost infusions, ozone infusions, ultraviolet blood irradiation, chelation, along with other intravenous vitamin, mineral, and nutrient treatments. Obtain a package of 5 infusions or treatments this month and save with special discount pricing. IV therapies can help improve energy, treat chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune illness, and much more. Find out more at WYCOFFwellness.com. Or call 517-333-7270.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the US and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the U.S. Open Championship twice, 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.